Welcome back to Deep Thoughts, ladies and gentlemen. On this 79 degree December day, actually it's still November. This is Thanksgiving. Got some time before the meals come around, so I'm going to pump out a quick episode. Cannot not take advantage of this amazing day. However, my idea today is to go into as much detail as I can imagine about sort of a morbid subject. So it's kind of nice to talk about morbid things on beautiful days every once in a while, because the day will keep your mind objective. Nothing to fear on a beautiful sunny day, right? All right. Now, as you can read in the title, you're always aware of what the episode's about. This is about nuclear holocaust. So how are we going to do this? Well, we're going to talk about what that means. We're going to talk about it on every single level, from a technology level to a sociological level to one world government level, the toxicity implications, who would do such a thing, who would participate in such a thing. Could it be a false flag if it ever happened? I mean, I'm pretty sure most of us haven't been in a nuclear bomb. There's definitely some surviving soldiers that have seen the mushroom clouds that were accused of being, you know, atomic bombs. If you watch this show, you'll know that there are folks that believe that atomic bombs don't exist. And I can definitely say there's plenty of fake footage claiming to be atomic bombs, but are just TNT stacked in silos. There's plenty of objects being hit by mushroom, you know, by aftershock clouds, which are just models. But I think, for the very first time in my entire life, I've been on this planet 47 years, Hillary Clinton was the most ridiculous human being on planet Earth that overtly revealed her intent to start a nuclear war. And I'm just going off of what I watched her mouth say at one of her stomps and her "look how tough I am" speeches, which was essentially saying she's going to restrict airspace over Syria, which automatically kicks off World War III. I mean, automatically. And then within the same speech, she's warned the military personnel that when she gives, and she didn't say I, but what she said was to figuratively remind them that when the commander-in-chief, a position she was going for, gives the order to deploy nuclear weapons, you have 4 minutes to comply or else. Never in my life have I heard any politician or any military official publicly state those two things together such that it looks like a cause and effect plan. Step A, start World War III. Step B, launch nuclear weapons. But now we've had two nuclear weapons dropped, supposedly, in Japan. And for those of you who don't understand supposedly, please go see my episode, "Do Atomic Bombs Exist?" Because I'll present to you the argument that potentially we've been had our whole lives. Pretty certain that nuclear power plants do what they do. They can't just build a giant building and fake power coming out of it. There's definitely some sort of reaction. Now, whether or not they can get that to go to a critical explosion, who knows? But now we are talking about a nuclear holocaust. Let's back up a second. What is that? A nuclear holocaust is usually a measure of last resort step to a war that has gone completely out of control. Both sides feel that the other side is such a threat to society and humanity that we have to risk contaminating this thing we're on. You can think of it round or flat or disc shaped, doesn't matter. But we're going to contaminate this container that we're in, this closed ecosystem called Earth, because we so disagree with the other side. So nuclear weapons have got to be the last thing that anyone ever talks about, because we've got amazing ways to fight wars, and I think through the internet we have established that other than the radical Muslims, the Sharia law Muslims on this planet, there is no single faction of any dominant factor on planet Earth that wishes another area in the world that much harm, to be honest. We now know that the Iron Curtain that we were so indoctrinated to hate and to believe was so dark is actually a bunch of propaganda. If you think that Russians are horrible people, one of the things that I've done is played for some of my buddies when we're running through YouTube at Smoke Lounges, some of the prank videos coming out of Russia, where people built robot spiders and they just do everything that we do. And you get to see their kids scream and laugh and have a good time, see how they prank each other, see how they're such good spirits when they get absolutely terrified. And most people in the room go, and these are the people that we've been terrified of for the last 50, 60 years because our military-industrial complex fed us propaganda about how horrible they are. Now, there's some bad mofos over there. There's gangsters over there. There's all kinds of stuff. But there's nothing different about them versus us. And that's supposed to be our number one opponent, is Russia. Oh, they try to sell you North Korea. What a joke. The average citizen of North Korea is about to collapse out of pure famine. Sharia law, that's a problem for humanity. But I'd say Satanism is probably even a bigger threat because it spreads over all nations. It's embedded in all of our worlds. They hide in secrecy and they lie. But you can't fight them like a nation. So the idea that you can drag out a nuclear weapon and attack a certain geographical spot on Earth and somehow eradicate your enemy, it's almost a passe model. Think about it. All the Muslims that have been allowed in by the Nazi wife, geez, I almost don't want to insult the Nazis, the Merkels of the world, who are worse than any Nazi. The head of the EU is pretty much as bad as it gets as a human being. All of her constituents that support her, they're all as low as it gets on planet Earth. They've allowed this huge multi-million terrorist cell to infiltrate Europe because they want to pull the trigger and have Europe implode at some point, right? Well, what are you going to do? You're going to nuke Amsterdam, Munich, Hanover, Madrid, London? What, are you going to nuke everything to get rid of these people? Well, you've allowed them to filter themselves into your world like a virus. You can't go back and bomb where you think they're from. That doesn't make any sense. They're not there anymore. So the idea of a nuclear weapon being used is an antiquated concept of war, in my opinion. You can't make a nuke small enough to really make it make any sense. I mean, if you could make it perhaps the size of a average city block, and yeah, you got a bunch of Muslims in some area, and they're behaving badly, they're raping kids and women and children. Sure, maybe. But they're pretty indiscriminate weapons, right? They kill everybody. They leave behind radioactive fallout, no matter how teeny tiny you make it. I want to open with that concept because I want you to perhaps breathe a sigh of relief right from the very beginning that these kind of weapons make no sense at all. You know, in any government, there's two layers, right? There's the diplomatic layer, and then there's the militant layer. You go diplomacy as far as you can, and then you go military. All right. Well, today, you know, Putin is not someone that you don't know. If you don't know who Putin is and don't know how he thinks, and you're fearful of any wars, then you're a lazy person. Because Putin does press conference after press conference after press conference. I think there's one a week, if not two a week. He invites 20 press in there. He answers all their questions. He doesn't have a teleprompter. And he literally stays until all the questions are answered within reason. So everybody knows who that guy is. We can see a continuous stream of thought, right? When you build up a psychological profile in your brain of another human being, it's based on how many conversations you have with that person. And Putin rocks. He just keeps talking. He's, for the very first time, I should say this, we're about to have a candidate be the United States of America president in January 2016 or 2017 that will talk to us like Putin's been talking to his people for ages. So now think about this. The nuclear option. It's going to take quite a while for all of the diplomatic options and previous two nuclear weapon military options to fail before anyone's going to be able to authorize a nuclear weapon. And because I believe that wholeheartedly, if you ever wake up in the morning and there's a nuclear weapon detonation out of thin air, either be it we're at war or we're not at war, and you didn't see it coming, you didn't feel like we had exhausted all of our options, the war was going, but it hadn't reached that level, I'm going to tell you that if you've ever seen the movie Princess Bride, where the reason why they kidnapped her at the beginning of the movie was to make it look like it was a false flag, literally, the flag was attached to her clothing, and it was designed to make it look like one kingdom had stolen the princess of another kingdom. It will be a false flag of a tiny organization trying to get two other groups to fight. So, for example, if America were at war, God forbid, with Russia, Syria, anything like that, it's not going to happen now, thank God. But if we're just fighting it out a little bit, and all of a sudden a nuke is detonated, I guarantee you it's a third party that wants us to destroy each other. Because it makes no strategic sense. It just doesn't. It's overkill. It's ridiculous. So let's step back from this argument for 1 second, and let's look at our little pyramid view of the world. So, you know, it's my common belief, especially based on all the conversations I've had with individuals, who are much nearer to this pyramid model than I am, that the richest people in the world participate at a level that is commonly misunderstood to those towards the bottom of the pyramid. The top of the pyramid, especially the tippy-top compartment, is built out of the families that were there first, the ones that fought, bled, and sacrificed their timelines to be the most wealthy in the world, most powerful in the world, some of them through military might, some of them through financial money exchanging might, the brain. And believe you me, they are well reinforced to maintain the control over humanity by all financial means necessary. Now, what's important to note while we're here is the only concept that penetrates like hot butter, hot knife through butter, this control apparatus of petrol dollars and all this kind of stuff, is freedom. Freedom cuts through all the control apparatus in the world. Sovereignty, common law, do no harm. It's a concept that undermines the mechanics of their techniques of domination in this world. So they're at the top of the pyramid, and there's clubs at the top, and there are groups at the top, and they argue at the top. So the world isn't completely, THX 1138, and if it were, you'd be wearing a robe right now, and I wouldn't be making this video. But now, we need to understand that they're there. There's still royalty on this planet, right? There is still a queen of England, king and queen of Spain, king and queen of Norway. There's duchesses and dukes, and they're all revered. And they're propped up by their respective nations as superhuman. The new series on Netflix, The Crown, is there to revise history. $10 million budget per episode is what I'm told. And what you guys have to understand is that's nearly, 5.5 times higher than Battlestar Galactica got per episode. And they had special effects in a set. So nuclear holocaust, let's think about this. The fear is that the world runs as if Hollywood, as Hollywood says it does, right? It's just an organic collection of people on planet Earth. We really do vote for our leaders. There's no Bilderberg Group headhunting agency. There's no coordination between intelligence agencies to trade eavesdropping information. The Constitution is still in effect. The illusion that we haven't killed it. in many ways. Hopefully he gets a big shot in the arm here in the next 4 years in America. But if the world were chaotic and organic, then the risk of a nuclear holocaust, of using nuclear weapons as a result of a war, would be much higher than if there weren't a centrifuge at the very top of this planet, attempting to control all things. But I think it's very easy to see that there's a central force that controls all the first world countries of this planet, because agendas are hatched globally. They drop on the same day. A lot of foreign agencies will speak the same words between them. Reuters and AP seems to be an artery to keep the heartbeat of consciousness and full reality going constantly, right? You can read an article at the BBC, and it's the same article as CNN, it's the same article at Fox News, same article as Huffington Post, because it's all linked back to either Reuters or the Associated Press, of which are the same organization. I'm just reminding you of sort of the low-hanging fruit evidence that this world is run by a central cabal of families, because that's important. How do these people live? How do these people live? Well, there's to be some intellectual pity for anyone at their level. And it goes in several different phases, and even if they were listening, I'm sure they would nod their head. And they might even think, wow, someone finally actually described what it's like to be us, because it's nothing but a misconception everywhere else it's explained. Think about your life first. You wake up usually without enough resources to get everything that you ever imagined. You're also raised within a pool of left brain, right brain, empathy, and functionality in your life. So you care about human beings, you feel pain in other human beings, but you intelligently also engage your logical left brain to triage events as they occur. And that's how you live your life. There's reward because there is loss. Sometimes you can't have what you want, and then you get everything. Then you lose it again, and you gain it. People are wonderful, and you live in a particular neighborhood, and everything is perfect, and the kids grow up, move away. Someone has a stroke, a heart attack, the economy crashes, and your perfect neighborhood is no longer perfect. And then you go 5 to 10 years, and you find that new neighborhood, or maybe yours rebounds. That's the world you and I live in, a cyclical heartbeat of reality. We get the full spectrum. But now imagine you're one of them. If you're one of them, you're in either two hemispheres. The larger hemisphere is that you will not participate in the family's activities. You are on the periphery. But there's a curse in that too. You wake up with very little responsibility besides showing up at a ribbon cutting if you're potentially close to the center ring. But most of them just want for nothing, materialistically speaking. They can have whatever house they want, wherever they want that house to be, any cars they want, they can have it, jewelry, clothing. They have it all. But the problem is they don't have the built-in strife that we have at the lower echelon of life. Some of them perhaps are groomed for the potential of moving to the inner ring, and therefore they have their empathy pounded out of them, because to run the world in any capacity, any level of participation, is going to have to require that you're very objective and non-empathetic. You're going to look at math all day. Once you're groomed like that, you most likely can't get empathy ever in your life, ever, because there's a window of opportunity for empathy. And if you are sanctioned from it, you become a different human being. But imagine waking up and having no need for money, because you have infinite supplies of it. It doesn't mean you have billions in the bank. It just means at no point did you ever feel like you needed something that you didn't have. You know, honestly speaking, take the average American family, and you pay all their bills for them. They never ever have to work, and you give all the kids the toys that they want. Dad gets a car, mom gets a car. You're not really talking about spending that much money. What, $1 million a year maybe? Maybe. $500,000 a year would probably handle it. But say dad wants to get a $500,000 car, he's going to keep it. that once he's had a $500,000 car, he's not going to need a $500,000 car after that. You've had it. You've done it. Those people don't need billions of dollars. They just need a few million dollars a year. As a relation to a family that runs the world, they don't need much. But let's say you're on the inner circle, because that's where this decision is going to be made about using or applying a nuclear weapon. Well, they're really stoic. They're very logical, right? They're way past needing fancy cars, fancy houses, fancy this and that. If they happen to walk into one, they barely notice it. They'll walk into a mansion with 150 rooms, a house that's 1,000 years old, that's been handed down through their families, and sure, they'll feel some pride, but they don't necessarily step back from it and look at the stones and the mason work and go, oh my God, isn't this just a gorgeous house? And they're like, oh my God, I got to go and do this meeting. I really wish I didn't have to do this meeting, but I have to, because someone has to run the world. And the pride that you and I might take and such a responsibility, they don't have. It's a burden. It would be a burden on you too, very quickly after getting the job. But they live in the lush areas of the world. The world is inviting. They can go outside and feel the summer air like I'm feeling right now in the end of November. Perhaps they do have one love, hopefully. One guy built a trebuchet, right? Was throwing pianos and cars. He's definitely related to one of those families. But now let's just say that the nuclear option starts to get into discussions like Hillary Clinton during her campaign. Well, now that's interesting, right? We ban smoking in public places because of the secondhand smoke that drifts into people's lungs. I have to say, I walked across my neighbor's to my neighbor's house yesterday, and a lady was smoking a cigarette, and man, that stuff just gets in your nose and sticks in your lungs. Let me tell you, I can sit in a smoke lounge for 5 hours with cigars going off like crazy, and never does my lungs ever feel like I'm getting any of that smoke in my lungs. Cigars are completely different. But a nuclear bomb is just like the guy standing next to you at a restaurant outside the patio smoking. Because a bomb goes off somewhere in the world and fallout starts to spread. Now the interesting thing is that they probably have reduced the radioactivity of nuclear weapons over the years, to be honest. Now I explain how nuclear bombs work in the do atomic bombs exist? I like going back and forth between atomic and nuclear. But they have to create the stuff called plutonium, at least in the current outward schematics. Extremely volatile material that when crushed with some sort of explosive in a unified manner, it crushes this highly radioactive material in on itself, and when that happens, something called fission happens. The mass starts tearing itself apart. Neighboring atoms start splitting neighboring atoms, and you get this catastrophic fission reaction, which turns into the explosion that you know as an atomic bomb. Only the inertia of the universe slows it down. But this material that's used to create the bomb is then now made airborne. And because fission is fairly toxic to all atomic matter, meaning when you split an atom, you're coming up with all kinds of, I would actually imagine, some antimatter at the same time, but you are splitting the very integrity of energy into its subatomic particles, which I think is probably fairly benign. So outside of the being inside the atomic wave of energy that comes off of a bomb, it's bad stuff. And you start spreading this plutonium at a submicron level, at a subatomic level, all over the area. It gets caught up in jet streams, because you have to understand that these mushroom clouds go way up in the sky. And the one thing I failed to mention that I have heard rumored to exist, although it sounds a little far-fetched to me, but supposedly, okay, that the testing that was done above ground before 1973, Bikini Island and all the stuff in America, each time a mushroom cloud went up in the air, what they said was a giant portion of the toxicity went up with the cloud, way up into the stratosphere, and it way above the atmosphere, supposedly, and I've never heard this repeated beyond the first place that I heard it, and I can't exactly remember where I first heard it, but it's from a human being. But they said there's a big, giant, toxic ball supposedly hovering over us in some atmospheric pressure chamber, meaning the layer of atmosphere underneath is dense enough that it's keeping it above, but that if that were to ever change, there'd be this huge level of 50 years of testing or whatever it is, 30 years of testing, that would come down and, you know, rain on all of us. That doesn't make any sense to me at all, quite frankly. So I meant to mention that in the other episode. Now for me, I just want to clarify real quickly. The mushroom cloud for me doesn't really speak to the concussive design of a nuclear weapon. Like when I think about a nuclear weapon popping, the videos of hydrogen bombs where you have this sort of half moon shape popping out of the ground, that is what I would imagine a nuclear weapon to look like, not like a mushroom cloud. But someone has created, you know, the Russians have created probably one of the biggest explosions above ground that we know of, right? That videotape. But again, you know, honestly, now that you know special effects, now that you know in-camera optic tricks, the old special effects from back in the day, you know, you could pop some stuff in water, you could do all kinds of stuff and get some pretty amazing footage and just say it's a nuclear weapon. Let's get back on track. So those who participate in the policies of running the world are definitely going to be involved with any authorization to use nuclear weapons. I am absolutely positive that the military-industrial complex at that clandestine, incredible, covert level of using the tippy-top arsenal of the world are going to have to get permission from bankers in Europe to pull the trigger. It's not going to be some spur-of-the-moment situation. But where would all these nuclear bombs go off? I mean, who are the two organizations on planet Earth close to actually getting into a nuclear war? Well, I assure you it's not China. I assure you it's not North Korea. North Korea doesn't have any bombs. If you ever see a bomb go off in North Korea that you believe is a nuclear weapon, one, it's an international felony to detonate one of or above ground. So if they do that, we can just rush in and take out Kim Jong-un just instantly. We could probably get authorization just to tomahawk his body into pieces, but they don't have any, and they're just using horrible CG to say they've got rockets going off. It's really sad. But China, they're too sweet to be going to that extreme level. They're not to be trifled with. They're not weak, but they're also not crazy. Again, because China is so shrouded for the majority of the geographical area that they actually cover, although most of it's populated to the East Coast, the same propaganda that went up against Russia for the last 50, 60 years is now being applied to China. What you don't know can freak you out, and boy, you know, the government loves boogeymen. So what are the other ones? Well, Russia, supposedly, right? Russia does have a nuclear arsenal. Well, let's think about it. Russia would only be fighting the United States of America, I would imagine, with nuclear weapons. And before you, you know, get into Israel supposedly has nuclear weapons. Pakistan and India have nuclear weapons. Again, Pakistan and India are as chill as they could be. Go watch some Bollywood movies and tell me that you believe that these people are big nuclear weapon fans. It's total crap. Again, I have got a very good friend of mine who's massively intelligent. He's Jewish, and he's been to Israel, and he's bilingual on massive level. And I've talked to him at length about the cabal of what most of the listeners who are into this kind of thing call the Zionist, you know, movement. And he said, you know, look, and I'm trying to work with him to create a whole episode about this, but it's a very sensitive thing. And he's actually got me off on some interesting tracks that I've never heard of anyone talking about because he's got the research. But he's telling me that, you know, 80% of Israel is secular. They don't believe in anything. They don't worship Judaism at all. And they're not Zionists at all. They don't believe in the banking cartel group of Israel, which are the Zionists in Israel. But they're very aware that that small faction exists, and they're very aware that that faction runs their country. but they're not in approval of it, right? So I thought that was interesting. Just one guy's opinion, but he's very well-traveled and massively intelligent. So I don't think, you know, there's always a worry about some Arab country supposedly nuking Israel based on the Israeli soldiers that have defected and admitted that they are in perpetual false flag to rationalize the removal of Palestinians. I think that when you look at the boy who called wolf formula, if Israel were to ever suffer a nuclear weapon, unless it's in a major populated city, you would have to assume that the same pattern of false flags, self-imposed false flags to blame other people, it could be their own government doing it to themselves, sacrificing a few for the many. But it wouldn't be downtown Jerusalem. It wouldn't be, you know, in major cities there. I know it's an outrageous accusation, but again, I think there's over 150 plus soldiers that have cried in court talking about how they shelled their own country to blame it on the Palestinians. But the two big forces that would go at it, theoretically speaking, based on all the Hollywood horse shit and all the propaganda that we have swallowed, that our tax money has paid for, would be Russia and the United States of America, right? Well, immediately when you have any two targets, what you have to do with this whole scenario is to say nuclear weapons have a lot of radiation. Now, what if the United States of America is able to create a nuclear weapon that barely has any radiation, but our Russian partners haven't figured that out? They don't even care. They're like, yeah, who cares? Fallout's fallout. You want to start this kind of war, you deserve the fallout. In fact, it's an extra gift that keeps on giving for fucking with us, right? Eat a bunch of radiation. I don't think any of that's true. Okay, I don't believe that anyone has that attitude. But New York City would probably be one very quick target. Probably Boston. Definitely Washington, D.C. So those three cities would probably be melted off the map, never to be inhabited in the evolutionary lifespan of mankind. Well, if those cities got it, big old Russian submarine brigade, you know, pulls up, starts launching them out of the Atlantic Ocean, excuse me. Just instantaneous impacts. Boom, 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 boom. Maybe Russia's figured out the nuclear tsunami bomb, too. They pop a bunch in the ocean. The whole coast of America gets flooded with 30-foot waves traveling 60 miles an hour. Just wipes us out. It would be the funniest scene in the world, right? All those FEMA coffins that are being ordered in Georgia for the last 15, 20 years, they're floating out in the middle of the ocean. They never get used. But the fallout would start hitting the upper atmosphere, right? Where's it going to go? Well, the Atlantic Ocean's pretty damn big. It is. And it would swallow up probably a good portion of that. But depending on the bomb magnitude that the Russians might use, the higher up the mushroom cloud goes, the further that stuff will travel across the Atlantic Ocean and drop on all of our European friends. Now, the other thing is that the Russians would know that we have European allies. Who are our European allies? Well, if they're going to go nuclear, which again, they won't, but if they were to be so crazy as to do that, they're going to have to take out England, Israel, probably most of Europe, to be honest. Every major city in Europe is going to have to get hit, and hit fast. And because the ocean is the deployment zone for nuclear weapons, there won't be any ground launches. Sure, they'll put them up there just to distract us, but they're going to come out of the ocean, they're going to travel 50 feet off the ground, and they're going to airburst over cities. Boom, boom, boom. They could probably time it such that all the cities get hit on the same second, right? All right, well, Jacob Rothschild's playing golf somewhere. He's enjoying his day, his sunglasses on. The guy has actually been in a lot of interviews over his lifetime, just walking down the street. He doesn't seem as diabolical as he's been accused of. But all of a sudden now, he's got to go inside. All the family members of all the banking cartel, including the royalty of the world, have to go inside. And unless nuclear weapons are a lot different than we think they are, unless the Russians have done something very special to make them non-toxic, we're going to have to be inside for quite a while. Bethesda's video game Fallout is going to become the standard of the world. Now, there are concerns on two levels here about this next phase. One of the concerns is that it is a plan. There are things like Iron Mountain that have been built, supposedly, and all of the artifacts of the world, some of the most prized possessions of the world, are being stuck in these vaults, just in case of a cataclysmic event. There are fleets of big rigs taking supplies into mountainsides all over the United States of America. I have one listener who has personally witnessed this in a mountain base in eastern Oregon. Okay. There are videos of it happening in Colorado, the multi-layer base underneath the Colorado airport. And I've got family that have gone down in that thing, so you have to understand that does exist. And each level down, you have to have higher and higher clearance levels. But it supposedly goes down 27, 30 stories. You know, big Walmart trucks were videotaped going in the mountain. The thing is you've any military installation, you're going to have thousands of people inside a mountain. So what do you think it's going to take to bring in the strategic supplies to feed just the basic staff inside a mountain? Like if you take Apple Computer, there are 20, 30,000 employees that are going to be in that UFO in Cupertino, and you just happen to build that inside the side of a mountain, and now these people aren't going to come out to go home at night because they're going to be in there for months at a time. You're going to have to bring in truckloads of stuff. It doesn't mean there's a nuclear holocaust coming. It just means that that's the logistical moment when all the stuff is being brought in. And people are allowed to videotape it and publish it on the internet. The videos aren't taken down. It's because it's no big deal. There's this big stink about how Homeland Security bought billions of rounds of ammunition. Well, bulk purchasing makes things cost less. Bullets can last for a very, very long time. So the idea is, why not buy a bunch and then just sit on them? It could be just someone greasing someone's palm in the military. And I got this George Soros bought an ammunition company. He'd like you to purchase a billion rounds so he can make, you know, $500 million or $10 billion. There's scumbags like that. When Katrina happened in New Orleans, all these horrible, toxic, you know, mobile homes were sent out to be, you know, refugee or, you know, displaced people homes, and they were fully toxic. The EPA wouldn't allow anyone to live in them because they had so much formaldehyde in them. Someone just put them together and shipped them out and made a buck. So the thing is if anyone launches any nuclear weapons, then the ruling class of this world, from bankers to monarchs to various business people like a Soros or whatever, they're going to have to move someplace to come outside. Now, some of you might say, well, you know, they'll just go to Billionaire Island in the South Pacific, where no bombs have gone off during this entire war, and the Northern Hemisphere will be encased in a toxic atmosphere. Well, the properties of diffusion will spread that all over the world, so you really won't totally get away from it. Maybe they have some iodine they can put in their system that will block the radioactive isotopes from locking into their cellular structure. But let me ask you, would you really want to be taken away from your home? You know how many days the Queen of England has spent inside Buckingham Palace? Do you really think that if she wanted to live somewhere else, she couldn't live somewhere else? Retire and hand down the reins to somebody else? Why she doesn't do that, I don't know. No, she likes it where she is. She's accustomed to it. And, you know, she's probably closer to death's door than most of us, just by sheer age attrition. But these people don't want to lose track of their land, of what they fought for. I mean, their land is the symbol of exactly what their family sacrificed to get. Evil or good, doesn't matter. So I strongly doubt that they want to be displaced due to some phase of toxicity. Imagine Jacob Rothschild. If you've seen that guy, but he's he's probably also within 10 years of death's door. Yeah, maybe he takes a bunch of USERM stuff, but, you know, he's not going to have a body that's worth living in 10 years from now, in my opinion. But, you know, if you ever wondered if there's any sort of, like, USERM, go look at these people and tell me that they have magic medical supplies. The Royal Windsor family of England doesn't seem to have hair restoration drugs because half of their males are bald as you could possibly be. They do seem to live a really full life. You know, most of the royalty lives to be about 100 years, but they look old. They do. They may not look as old as you would at that age, but still, they die. So here's my general belief about the world, and this is essentially an educated hunch at best. We are not made privy to many things in this world. And forget the spiritual side of things. But technologically speaking, there are obviously massive inventions that will and can fix just about anything. I think perhaps some of this stuff was used during Chernobyl. I think some of this was definitely used during Fukushima. Because the toxicity of those events threatens everyone on planet Earth, it's not allowed to get to that stage. That could be wishful thinking, but I think that that's the case. There have been several believable interviews with military individuals that talk about secret groups showing up, sort of the black suit groups. And, you know, black suits are very interesting. There's a color code at the elite level of the world that you need to understand. The black suits are always, the color black in a suit signifies authority, ultimate authority. For instance, you do not go to a negotiation with a Fortune 1000 company and wear a black suit. And unless you own the place, right? And most of us reserve that for funerals and that kind of stuff. Most of us put a little bit of color in our step. But there have been individuals that showed up at G20 conferences in black suits, not knowing that there's a color code to the power structure. When you see the group photo of the G20, I believe most of the suits are black, because you get authorized to be in the photograph at that level of authority. Now, obviously, that wouldn't be the top of the inner authority of the world, but it would be the top of the external pecking order of peasants and leaders, right, in their mind. There's a lot of agendas moving forward at all points in time. And I'm going to finish up with the whole section here on the potential reset button, because some of you might be feeling that in your heart. There's something called the Georgia Guidestones. It's built in the state of Georgia in the United States of America. I've talked about these several times in season one. I don't know how much I've mentioned it in season two, but here we go. It's four massive stones built in a town in Georgia that is known for mining tombstones. These are huge. These put Stonehenge stuff to shame. They're not thick, but they are massive. Each side of each stone has a message that repeats itself. 10 commandments that someone wrote on how to rule the world, written in 8 different languages on the main stones, and then I believe in over a dozen languages and little plaques around this little kind of Stonehenge replica. Just look up Georgia Guidestones. Now here's the thing. The very first commandment is the only one that will shock you. The rest of them seems pretty logical. Almost seems like a euphoric world when you read 2 through 10. But the first one says, maintain world population under 500 million in perpetual balance with nature. Now you might think, well, geez, 500 million, that's quite a few. If you take 500 million and you divide it by 7.5 billion, easy way to do this is just take the number 500 and divide it by 7,500. You're going to see a number around 98%, 0.98. That means 98% of the world has to be destroyed for you to get down to the maximum number they're talking about being allowed, which is 500 million. As I've said several times on the show, no one really wants to be at capacity on the first day. I'm willing to bet they would take that number down to around 110 million, 150 million. That starts looking more like 99.9%. Again, take 110 divided by 7,500. So someone built that. Someone maintains that. Many people have tried to destroy it, knock it down with the truck. Pulls the axle off the truck, of course, because these stones weigh about as much as your house. People put dynamite on it and try to blow it up. Doesn't do anything. It is structurally massive. So somebody has an agenda to reduce the world population by quite a bit. But this subject's about nuclear holocaust. I'm going to tell you that if the ruling class of the world ever desired to remove 98-99% of the world's population, nuclear holocaust is not going to remotely be their choice. It won't be on the list ever. Because in order to do that to the population using nuclear weapons, even if there's a minute chance of nuclear fallout, it's the worst choice. It's unacceptable. Now, for those of you watching The Crown, let me put this in your ear before you start rubbing yourself at night to the show about how noble the Windsor family is. Prince Philip, played by Matt Smith in the series, the original real guy, who's still alive to this day, I believe, he wrote his memoirs, I believe, in the mid to early 90s. In his memoirs, he said that if he was ever reincarnated, he would like to come back as a virus and wipe out the human race. Ice Cube said once, "Here's what they think about you." Right before he went into "No Vaseline," "Here's what they think about you." That's it. That's one guy's view. And they published it. They actually thought it was a good idea. Oh, hey, yeah, Prince Philip, it's a good idea. We tell the whole world that's the kind of person you are. I mean, didn't a bunch of people read that? Now, so there could be, you know, some other cataclysm. It could be, again, these chemtrails they spray over our heads could be a part A of a AB binary weapon. One day they spray the B and everybody's dead. Easily could be worked into the water supply, although that takes a lot longer to get in all of our bodies, unless you talk about showers in the morning. But some people get up really early and some people get up really late. And those who shower first are going to run outside and tell people, don't shower, don't touch the water, blah, blah, blah. Someone's going to figure that out. Not a very good technique. There's viruses. There's regular RNA viruses and there's protein viruses like mad cow. Anything they unleash on the world to get rid of us would have to be have some natural attrition of stopping at some point. They're worried about our population levels because we become difficult to control. Let's get back on the nuclear holocaust side of things. Because there's one scenario I haven't discussed, but I don't worry about it for a very specific reason. This episode is called Nuclear Holocaust. When you hear that, you probably imagine, if you know what that means, a bunch of nuclear weapons going off around the world, dozens and dozens and dozens, knocking out major cities, etc., etc. And that's what that is. But now let's look at the formula for 9/11. What's the 9/11 formula? Someone authorized a single attack that was catastrophic. Now, obviously, there's, you know, at least two targets. Three buildings fell down, not two. Pentagon was hit, and somewhere supposedly in Shanksville, another plane went down, which never happened. So someone authorized that at a global scale. Trust me, there's no banker that woke up that morning and goes, oh, look what America's doing. Oh, that's quite clever. Mm-mm. When our troops went over to the Middle East and did nothing more than serve the World Bank and secure the petrol dollar in the name of the United States dollar, we get a little bit of bump on our currency value. But overall, we didn't get, 50-cent gas. We didn't really benefit in any way, shape, or form besides our Constitution getting completely destroyed, right? Which is an inverse benefit, right? So we have all these terrorist cells being smuggled into Europe. You know, Merkel, who runs the EU, she is personally responsible, personally, for every rape, every murder, every single thing these immigrants have done since they've got to Europe. She should be literally tried for all of their crimes because she's advocating their existence. All of the local, state, and country levels that are covering up their deeds should all be tried for their crimes, in addition to those who are doing it. But for some reason, a bunch of leaders in Europe are hell-bent on filling up the entire region with terrorist cell-level individuals, military-grade males who worship a tiny sect of the Muslim religion, which is Sharia law, which believes in the brutalization of women and children. If you can hurt a child, and if you can hurt a woman, what makes you think they can't bomb a city in the ultimate format? Where would you draw a line? When you believe an entire race or entire region of the world are pure infidels, every single human being you see that's not like you is an infidel. And an infidel is someone that should be exterminated, not just imprisoned, not just tortured, but exterminated, genocided. That's what that word means, right? Okay. Someone is allowing them in. Merkel is allowing them in. She's being told what to do. She doesn't personally run the place, but she's allowing it, so she's aiding and abetting after the fact, probably even before the fact, right? Okay. Now, who would support these individuals? I mean, technically, who would support them? Well, you would assume it would be the Muslim Brotherhood of some sort that believe in what they believe, that have fueled their migration. Okay. So, I think it's clear to everyone that the Arab nations of the world have inexhaustible money. And I mean inexhaustible money, okay? Well, there are nuclear weapons, supposedly. Again, if you believe they exist, the Russians have bragged about having suitcase bombs. They've also bragged about, or not bragged about, they've also notified us 20 years ago that a bunch of these suitcase nukes disappeared with the fall of Russia, actually. So it'd be the early 90s. And maybe they don't do, like, you know, megaton damage. Maybe they do kiloton damage, but whatever. How big do you need a weapon to be that goes off in a major city before you're crapping yourself and fearing everything on planet Earth, right? But let's just say that one of these factions, using a really rich uncle who pays perhaps, you know, $500 billion for one nuclear weapon to be smuggled out. I mean, that kind of money, people will bend their ethics and they will steal warheads and they'll give them away. I'm pretty sure that it would have to be some sort of portable unit, of course. But if my shop teacher in the 1980s was telling the truth about creating dirty weapons, dirty bombs, back in the 40s in Guam, I'm sure it's possible to create something pretty toxic, right? And the worse, well, I should say the lower level of technology that is used to create this explosion, the more toxic it's going to be to everyone in Europe. So the crappier the bomb's construction, the more people are at risk, right? So I'm going to tell you this, if there is any truth to what I'm about to say, that I would say the entire EU body is responsible for this one way or the other. And I would say Merkel would definitely be at the very tippy top of making this happen for all of you guys in Europe. You've got to get rid of this organization. Then it just doesn't matter. If you just get rid of the EU and you all exit out of that thing, you don't have to worry about charging anybody with any crimes. They just fade away into, you know, oblivion. But let's say they pick a major city in Europe. These militant Arab males who believe in Sharia law and the genocide of all Europeans. Because that's what they overtly tell you. You just haven't had the courage to process the thought. Not you personally, but a lot of folks that are allowing it to happen. You're not going to rehabilitate these people, all right? Pick a city. I don't care which one you pick. Brussels, France, Germany, Spain, England, Ireland, Scotland, Norway, Denmark, Sweden, Switzerland, Italy. Pick a major city. And they smuggle a warhead, a suitcase, something. They know how to mix Clorox bleach and an old sock together. Something happens. And a city goes pop. A city ceases to exist in the history of mankind. Then what? They could have one bomb and threaten that they have dozens of bombs. But you've allowed them to infiltrate every single nook and cranny. And their first command or demand comes out and says, "You're not to touch any of us, or we'll detonate another one." Then what? Now, could you imagine living in Europe and feeling so high and mighty, intellectually speaking? I'm not saying any of you who listen to me have that opinion of yourselves, but think about your neighbors, because we have them here in the United States as well. Imagine, because this threat could come to the United States as well, right? But they threaten so categorically by detonating one bomb, and all of Europe, all of that region of the world is under lock and key by a threat system. Oh, sure, intelligence agents are going to work really hard to find them somewhere. All the NSA spying is going to kick in. All this, every piece of surveillance, every piece of super technology that is not privy to us is going to kick in. But in the end, no matter how sophisticated that stuff is, you know, they're going to understand that even if you find the warhead, a second one somewhere, doesn't mean you can get to it before it detonates. If that were easy, there'd be no suicide bombs that would matter in the world, because you could always catch them before they pop themselves in a public place. Not that some of those aren't false flags in themselves, but this is why we can't allow the fabric of our world to deteriorate to a point where we become subject to their threats. What really surprises me is that you have, again, a small group of guys that come into Europe, and I say men specifically, some of them married to children, of course, and they're raping handicapped people in chairs. They're raping women. They're killing women. They're raping children. They're killing children. And all these countries in Europe are looking the other way. But there are billions of Muslims in this world that live by the same ethical code that most of the world lives by. They wouldn't do anything to harm anyone. But where are they? Where is their voice online? Why aren't they lobbying against this infiltration? The infiltration of Europe. Now, it might be that if nuclear weapons do exist, that they have been carefully tracked at a level that we don't understand. Because, save my shop teacher's description of making dirty bombs, let's hope he was boasting, although he wasn't that kind of guy, you need a facility to create such a thing. You just do. And hopefully those facilities have been monitored since their creation. Hopefully everything that's gone in and out of these facilities have been tracked drastically. But again, I think I'm accurate in saying that after the coup of Russia, about 3 or 4 years after that happened, you had top generals in Russia saying that a bunch of suitcase bombs disappeared. There's a lot of above ground indications that nuclear weapons have been passed out to the major superpowers to create leverage to keep nuclear holocausts from happening. If everyone has one at the upper levels of countries with massive populations and fairly decently structured governments, whether or not you agree with their techniques or not, it keeps everyone at bay. And I hope that's the case, right? The only major threat I think we have to be concerned with are factions of human beings that believe drastically different than we do, that do not adhere to common law, which is do no harm. What's really odd to me is a small digression into the fabric that might call out the psyche of people that might use these things is that, you know, if you look at most European countries before this this Muslim infiltration, and you look at America, obviously our friends down south in Australia, and these are just the factions I know the most about. Of course, Asian countries are exactly the same. We're always trying to develop techniques to be as happy as possible. Even the lunacy of political correctness and this ridiculous social justice warrior movements here in America, the intent, the overall arc of theme and intent of their thought process is to increase tolerance and to create a happy place for the world to be. Now, there's obviously a lot of hairs to split in that. I'm not going to get into that, but the world's pretty good. My friends who have traveled to Africa, all over Africa, say that the people are incredibly nice everywhere they go. Sure, there's ghettos in every single sector where people rip you off. But overall, the indigenous people that aren't part of some sort of federally law enforcement, they're good people. So how is it that we have allowed a faction to spread around the world that is overtly, absolutely opposed to all of that thought process? How is that possible? Again, there's not going to be rehabilitation for someone who can rape a child. A person who can rape a child has got severe mental problems. If we could rehabilitate those kind of people, we'd be doing it in our countries with our people. I'm unaware of a single reported case of a pedophile going through some psychiatric, you know, shock treatment and coming out, you know, loving his own sex and, loving the opposite sex and having normal, productive families after that. I've never heard of rehabilitation. Once someone crosses that line, unfortunately, and again, I know I'm citing generalizations and I'm sure there is someone who's, I guess, crossed the line and come back, but, you know, I'm willing to bet there's a lot of people that have crossed that line and come back and they never did anything, right? They never touched a child. They just had the feelings. I'm sure that's happened too. But we're talking about people who've done it. You think you're going to be able to sit them down over coffee and explain to them how silly they were? You know, sex is a very destructive force when it's not taken care of. Because when you look at the chambers of the mind and the dopamine addiction patterns of the human brain, if you, during sex, put other things in that pool, in that experience, that are bad for you, you're killing someone during sex. So you're orgasming, having the most incredible addictive chemical combination in your brain, and you're putting in evil things in the middle of that. You've got people addicted all of a sudden to the level of sexual orgasm to those other things, be it rape, be it pedophilia, be it straight up murder or other inconceivably horrible things. That's why in MKUltra, the program that the United States funded with American tax dollars, always had rape in the first 20 years of its incubation. Sure, there were non-rape techniques that they also experimented with, but rape was always the case. There's all these dysfunctional senators and weird intelligence people who wanted some strange on the side, and they wanted it to be really taboo, right? You know, there's a thing breaking right now called Pizzagate. It's horrific. The upper echelon of military, political, and law enforcement, again, a very tiny, tiny slice of these people, corporate heads, CEOs, have had this code that they've used to arrange these pedophilia parties. You know, hamburger was a boy, pizza was a girl, cheese was a small girl, and I forgot what was a small boy. But they had these words that they would use, food terms that they would use, because every party has food, right? As if these, you know, ruling class individuals are showing up to eat a hot dog, right? Oh, sorry, that's right. It was a hot dog was a boy. But it's being busted open. Podesta, You know, Hillary Clinton's campaign leader is embedded in this. This is our intelligence agents grabbing these emails and handing them over to Julian Assange because they don't have the authority to arrest the people in our own country. So they have to give it to him to try and break the story. I want to mention this because I need you to understand that, you know, the stuff floating on the top of the water, the scum that floats to the top, is unfortunately embedded at some very high places in the world. And we can't afford to allow it to be there unaddressed, because those would be the individuals, the sociopathic, self-loathing individuals that would write a memoir and say that they'd like to come back as a virus and wipe out all humanity. And they will use other factions to do their dirty work so they remain obfuscated from blame, meaning there's layers of misdirection between their own wishes for the world and what actually ends up happening. There is a plan for Europe, and it ain't good. Merkel's at the very tippy top of the spear of that plan that is no good for Europe. The EU has utterly bankrupted all of Europe. That's a fact. That's an absolute fact. The strongest, most powerful countries of Europe have never been so bankrupt in their history as they are right now. And yet these people wake up every day and you know, fight Article 50 in England because they want the hell out. The reason why I go on about this, and I'm about to close here, is that if you do have any concerns of a lunatic faction in the world potentially pushing the proverbial button and starting a nuclear holocaust, the way that you can put your head down at night and not worry about such a thing is to take action with your voting hand and get rid of these individuals in the world that seem to be the systemic cause of all of this concern, to get rid of factions that seem to be ebbing us closer and closer to a catastrophic end. I've said it in a few episodes back, and I'm just going to continue saying this because I want you guys to think about this. I don't have a lot of listeners, right? I don't have a lot of subscribers. For some reason, we got over 1,000 pretty quickly, and then we can't get over like 1,088. It's really funny. And that's just fine with me. But of all of you that hear this, a lot of you have family and military, family and intelligence, family who know people who are in those areas. Some of you women are married to these guys. Some of you guys are married to these women that participate in this stuff. We have to be careful because there are factions that are above you that are involved in all this Pizzagate stuff, right? And the pedophilia thing is just a small problem compared to all the other major, you know, World War III individuals that are moving around the world right now with these religious beliefs that are atrocious. But we really need to start just looking at the basic math of the problem. Tolerance, when it does no harm, is fine. You want to make the whole world believe in 29 gender identifications? Sure, go for it. It's your choice, right? It doesn't do anyone harm except for that the big burly man going in there with your 8-year-old daughter. Got to be careful with these things. But when we are being tolerant of do harm ethics, do harm religions, then we're making a gigantic mistake. And I think the world is finally fed up with this bullshit. America is definitely fed up with this bullshit. We elected a guy that is fed up with this bullshit. And if he can just stay alive for the next 4 years, he'll get another 4, and the world will be a different place. But you Europeans are at the highest risk on planet Earth. Do you realize that? Africans have less risk than you do. Australians have less risk than you do. Asians and Russians and the Middle Eastern folks of the world have less threat than all of you inside the EU. And until Article 50's passed, Britain, Scotland, and Ireland, you are still in that envelope of total harm. You are. And I think what's interesting about it is that we've sort of always said, well, you know, we can't interfere with other people's religions and other people's methodologies of living. You know, if Muslims want to rape their wives and their children and all this other stuff in various weird areas of those communities, again, I think it's an overwhelming minority within those groups. But if they want to have countries where it takes two women's votes to make a one man's vote, we've always kind of looked the other way and said, well, I guess it doesn't matter. And then this immigration happened in Europe. And all of a sudden, I think we all realized that perhaps it's not a good idea to look the other way. It's a hard problem to solve, right? Now, unfortunately, America has personally crapped in the punch bowl of democracy spreading around the world. Because what do? We say we're taking over these countries and spreading democracy, right? You've heard every president say it who's authorized an invasion of a Middle Eastern country. But what do? We go in and bomb them into the Stone Ages. We say that we're rebuilding their country, which we're not. We end up paying off all their warlords so that we can move our troops around without getting attacked, meaning all the money for rebuilding never rebuilds anything. And then we steal their oil, sign them up for contracts with the IMF to move all their oil through various euros and American dollars, which is oddly the Act 3 climax of the Sasha Cohen's movie, The Dictator. I'm still shocked he was allowed to release that movie, because that's what's actually going on. That is the joke right in your face. It's exactly what's going on. So when America has said that it's spreading democracy, it really spreads ultimate suffering. So we need the new generation of intelligent human beings, which is you and all of your friends and all of your family that think like you, to really get down to business and stop having these ridiculous conversations about, you know, men going into female restrooms. And we need to get at the very fabric of securing this planet, of ensuring that common law can be the base inalienable rights for all human beings around this planet. I know that's idealistic, but come on. If you think that that's idealistic, just think about, you know, your freedoms in Europe. We have to fix the bottom of the pyramid, people. We absolutely have to. I think you feel me. If you dig the series, please subscribe. If you dig this episode, please like. The subjects vary, so hang in there if one comes out you don't like. Spread some love. Spread these conversations to your family and friends if you feel me. I mean, if you make it to the end of this, you obviously felt what I'm saying, right? But add your intelligence to mine, because I'm sure that you can say things a hell of a lot better than I can. If you can't, just say what I say then. That is your baseline. But I'm sure you can add a bunch of insights to what I'm saying and help people figure out that all we want is really for everyone to be sovereign, to have freedom. We're all equal human beings on this planet, no matter if you like it or not. You know, we may not be equal in capability, but we have inalienable rights. We don't need a bunch of crazy people in the world. We can only raise children properly. We can't rehabilitate adults half the time because they're too indoctrinated and too addicted to horrible things. We might just have to remove some people from this planet, and it's a hard thing to say, but we got to make some choices. If there's a faction in this world that has a religion or a technique, and it could be just Satanism as in general, right, that want to kill us, then there's a silent war going on. And I'm afraid you can't bring your Facebook posts to the battle lines and hope to survive one shot of war. We have to make these people stick out like sore thumbs. We have to incarcerate them, get them out of the population so they don't indoctrinate new kids. We have to get them out of our countries and send them home. And then I think maybe the peaceful cultures of the world can make some demands of the non-peaceful worlds. Let's strangle them financially. Let's stop buying their shit, for one thing. Let's stop worrying about whether or not we're going to build a pipeline. We build a pipeline, we don't have to buy any of their shit, you know? We can use our own stuff. Stop enabling all these individuals with infinite cash. Cap their wells. Don't buy it. Make it an international felony to buy their shit. You get caught, you go to jail forever. until they can rehabilitate their countries to acknowledge basic human rights. And let's set that bar high, not like China's $1.20 a day, which allows them to designate one of their citizens as not being in a poverty-stricken slave community. Let's get our individual currencies to be valued similarly. You should be able to buy a ham sandwich and a gallon of milk anywhere in the world, and it's the same unit of currency. That way everyone can have the same same general mean of life. It's a big job. It's going to take us hundreds of years to do it, but I don't know about you, but I'm ready. Take care of yourself and someone else, and I'll see you in the next Deep Thoughts. Over now.